Thank you.
Item number one, from the Director of Audit's Office of the Comptroller, submitting the 2012 Countywide Audit Report Packet, consisting of the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, Single Audit Report, Employees Retirement System Annual Report of the Pension Board, pending pension approval on 9/18/2013, General Mitchell International Airport Schedule of Passenger Facilities Charges, Milwaukee County Paratransit and Transit Database Reports, Communication to Those Charged with Governance and Management Report, formally Report on Internal Control, Audit Communications Letter to the Board of Supervisors, and Audit Summary Observations. This item is informational only and thus otherwise directed by the committee.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Jerry Hare, Comptroller's Director of Audits. This item is what we refer to as the countywide audit.
Please introduce who you're
joined by. This is Nash Muller from Coleman & Williams and John Knapel from Baker Tilly.
Thank you.
And that's really all I'm going to do this morning is that, because what this is for you as the county's audit committee is that this is your opportunity to receive reports from our independent external financial auditors. So I'm going to turn it over to them. They've got some required disclosures and a briefing, and then they'll clearly be available to answer any questions the committee might have. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you for having us this morning. As Jerry indicated, my name is John Knapel. I'm a partner with Baker Tilly. I am responsible for the external audit and the services that we provide to the county. You should have received, obviously, a number of documents, but there is a two-page handout that we'll run through this morning, but gladly answer any questions that you have relating to the work we're due or the reports of the audit itself. The audit service team, we have multiple individuals involved in the audit, myself as partner, Steve Henke, who's here today, senior manager with Baker Tilly, and Wayne Morgan, a partner with Baker Tilly. He's responsible for the audit conducted over at ERS. Bill Coleman is a partner with Coleman and Williams, responsible for the work that they perform under a subcontract agreement that we have with that firm. And then Nash Mula, the senior manager with that firm, who will talk about the work that they do as relating to the airport, the transit, and the single audit as part of the audit. Audit results, the current year scope of testing was determined based upon our overall risk assessment of the audit. We sit down and we perform risk assessments of where we need to spend our time. It was consistent from the prior year, so nothing unusual in that regard. We have subcontracted with Coleman Williams to perform the work I previously mentioned. Our opinion is included in the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report for the county. Also, there's an opinions issued for the state and federal awards. All of our opinions reflect that the financial statements and the schedules are fairly presented in accordance with all of the required accounting and reporting principles. And that's exactly what you want to hear. It's now referred to as an unmodified opinion. And that's the best you can get from a CPA firm and exactly what you want us to tell you. It also means all the required disclosures are contained in those documents. Just some overall observations during the course of the audit, both Coleman and Williams, the work that they performed and what Baker Tilly performed, we received full cooperation from county personnel, and it could not go as well as it does without that. And we certainly look forward to a continuing relationship with the county. As mentioned earlier, a number of reports were issued in conjunction with the audit. First and foremost, the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. It contains all of your financial statements, management's discussion and analysis, which is really, I'd start there if you're going to look at that large document. It's geared towards giving a high-level overview of what happened during the year. And then the introductory and statistical sections, along with our opinion on the report. Coleman and Williams report, the 2012 single audit report, that contains all of the state and federal grant programs and their opinions and reports on those, on the, your compliance with those programs. That report was issued. A separate standalone report for the retirement system was issued, including all of their financial statements and our audit report. the General Mitchell International Airport schedule of passenger facility charges that's required by the federal government to be prepared and reported on. Coleman and Williams performs that as part of their work. The paratransit and transit system databases, base reports, again, Coleman and Williams has been has issued that that compliance report over the years. And then the next two, the 2012, the communication to those charged with governance and management and our audit communication to those charged with governance, those two documents combined contain all of the required disclosures that we as your CPA are required to make to you under our professional standards. So we put it all in those two documents. Everything that we are required to disclose to you under our standards is contained in those documents. And so it contains observations in connection with the audit, recommendations, also contains management's responses to those comments and recommendations. So you can look at that to see what we're telling management, what we're telling you about what happened during the audit, and how management is addressing those. With that, I will turn it over to Nashad Mula to talk through the single audit work that they did.
Good morning to the committee, and thank you very much for allowing us this opportunity to present to you. With respect to the single audit report, we also issued an unmodified opinion on the single audit of Milwaukee County. As John mentioned, that's a clean and best type of opinion you could hope to receive from an auditor. Our audit did not disclose any material weaknesses or material noncompliance with respect to the schedule of expenditures which we audited on the federal and state awards. However, during the course of our audit procedures, we did note four instances of noncompliance that were required to be reported upon, and of the physical document, those start on page 84. In addition to that, we followed up on last year's findings, which start on page 71 of the single audit document. There were six findings from last year of noncompliance, and those findings, I'm happy to say, have all been satisfactorily cleared. In addition to the single audit, as John mentioned, we did issue a unmodified opinion on the passenger facility charge schedule, which is required by the Federal Transit Authority, and we issued a agreed-upon procedures report required by the National Transit Database of the Department of Transportation. With that, I will turn over to John or open up for questions.
Maybe just one additional comment, and then I'll throw it open for questions. As Nash mentioned, findings relating to the federal and single audit, and I mentioned the findings, observations that we mentioned in our letters. We don't just make those comments and then move on. We follow up on those comments both on the single audit side and on the financial audit side annually. We talk with management about how they address them, whether, and sometimes you'll see comments repeated year after year after year because they haven't gone away yet. But we do follow up on all of the comments every year in the subsequent years when we make them to make sure that they don't just fall through the cracks. So with that, either Nash or I will gladly answer any questions that the committee has.
Supervisor Lipscomb.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One of the concerns that I saw noted in several places had to do with comptroller's staffing and the need for additional resources. Did you, that in their response, they stated that they were addressing it, or that they thought that they, you know, they recognized those mm-hmm. deficiencies and were addressing it. Were you satisfied with the plan of action that they described, or is that something that you think we need to pay more attention to? Or?
We are satisfied with their response, but we are going to be very proactive with that going forward into the current year. We already have several meetings scheduled with staff, with management, to see what can be done to make that whole issue, to minimize it, to make it go away. Mm-hmm. And you know, we're in the preliminary stages of having those discussions. The meetings have just been scheduled, but it is something that does not change overnight. And, you know, it's finding the right people, the right number of people, and so forth. I mean, you have good quality people, and sometimes it's training. And I know management takes this very seriously, and we're happy with how they're trying to address it. It just takes some time.
Mr. Hare, did you want to address
Mr.
that?
Chairman, Supervisor Lipscomb's question, Controller Mansky was unable to be here today, but we have discussed this and we've worked on it. There are six things that are in play right now that you should be aware of. The first is that we have started more countywide training for operating staff that feed up to the financial statements. Secondly, we've got a couple of positions that are in active recruitment right now. Third, we're looking after that to be in recruitment for two more positions. So we should be hopefully in a position of four additional vacant accounting positions filled, and that will help considerably. To John's point, we're doing two other things. The first is to have more structured and focused kickoff meeting for all the entities out in the county that are audited, because they really are a key to the financial statements being prepared timely and accurately. And then finally, to make sure all this is working, Comptroller staff is working with Baker Tilly to basically reverse engineer the audit process, kind of start with what we need to do to get to a point where the statements are clean and simple to audit and presented to you in a more timely manner. So we take this seriously, and I think we're moving in the right direction, but we're hopefully it'll be clear for next week.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Then there was, in the letter, there was one significant deficiency in internal control over financial reporting identified. Is what was that?
That's the financial statement presentation. Yeah.
Knowing whether I was finding the right thing in the detail
that was referenced
in the letter. Okay, thank you.
Supervisor Jurczyk?
Thank you. Supervisor Lipscomb just touched on the first question I had. The other question, you do some significant departmental audits. And I know there's a lot of requirements for audits within departments, for example, the FAA and the airport. But I was interested in the health and human needs area with regard to our family care, and noted that there were some significant cases in which ISPs were missing. First of all, can I ask you where you get that information? Do you actually audit that yourself, or do you get that information from state oversight? If you could just give me a little more information on how you get that audit information.
Okay. I believe that is the work that the Coleman Williams folks.
Yes. We audit that ourselves. We pick samples of documentation, and we know based on state and federal guidance, especially with ISPs, what is required to be in the files. Either on-screen or the physical files. And if they are missing, those are findings of non-compliance we're required to report upon. And so if we don't find them there, then we give the department, in that case, Health and Human Services, give them the opportunity to go back and look for them. But after a period of several weeks, if they still don't find them, then we can write up a finding.
I mean, that's a significant missing piece, because that's what family care is supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And you know, first of all, I want to compliment our comptroller and Mr. Hare. I think they do a very comprehensive job. I think the letter that was submitted by our comptroller was very comprehensive. And, you know, if you're going to do training for new board members, that would be the place I'd start. That was just a tremendous summary of county government. However, the one thing that I think both the comptroller notes and also I think the audit addresses is appropriate oversight of departments and appropriate reporting levels, et cetera. And as a board member, I have been concerned, and I'd like to hear you address this. Family care is now expanded to Racine and Kenosha. And that still answers, that department still answers to Milwaukee County elected supervisors. And I have been concerned that is not appropriate governance oversight. I would just like to hear you address whether I'm off base on this or if there is some concern there.
May I reiterate and make sure I understood the question? You're asking me whether my opinion on the oversight by family care with respect to their branching out to Kenosha and Racine.
And other counties.
And other counties.
I mean, I'm elected by Milwaukee County South Shore residents, all of my colleagues here represent different districts in Milwaukee County. I'm certainly capable, and I do get calls from concerned residents about services under family care. That's Milwaukee County.
Right.
And the state is now asking local boards to perform oversight with regard to regional, and maybe that's the way to go, but is the county board the appropriate governance level for oversight of that regional service? Is this something that is of concern?
It is of concern in that when you have any department that has oversight over several programs or several entities and jurisdictions, that they're able to manage the information and report on it and execute or provide services as required. So our review of their information is their compliance with laws, regulations, etc. To talk to whether it is a good or bad decision, I don't think I can make that assessment, because that would be an assessment that would come from the board as an governmental entity. But with respect to the types of the way they are able to pull together their information, report on it, and process it, I can't speak to that, and because we do audit that, and they have done a significantly good job with respect to be able to report to us. The findings that you have mentioned are actually not on family care. They come from the Department of Health and Human Services. Family care to date, with respect to compliance with and delivery of service, have not had any findings. So, you know, I can understand those concerns. However, to the best of my knowledge, nothing has come to light with respect to those specific concerns in delivery of service and reporting on the delivery of service.
Of course, it's fairly new. I would just ask, as we go forward, that auditors be aware of that issue. If there is something that comes up that, you know, there is a problem with the governance in response to constituent concerns, I think we need to address that. And then finally, would you, with regard to the transit audit, would you just give us a little more detail in terms of the audit results with regard to MCTS and their compliance?
Well, MCTS, we don't provide an audit. We provide a service called an agreed upon procedures report. And what that requires, the National Transit Database Authority provide us with specific procedures that they want us to look at. Procedures over the maintenance of ride information, statistical information, routing information, etc. And all of this information gets reported back to the federal government. What they ask us to do is to ensure that the reporting that they receive was accurately or with respect to the procedures that they asked us to complete was completed the way they expected to be completed. And so we take the report, apply those procedures, and then on a procedure-by-procedure basis, identify exceptions. And with respect to each of the procedures we performed, there were no exceptions. So that, in other words, the report was accurate and completed for the federal government in accordance with their guidelines.
Thank you. I appreciate that information.
If I could just add to that real quick, the audit that Nash is talking about is more of a compliance audit. The financial operations of the transit are under the umbrella of the Baker-Tilly audit of the county as a whole, and so our opinion on the financial statements of the transit operation covers them, and which is an unmodified opinion on their financials, the financial statements of the transit operation.
So, hearing from both of you, I'm translating that they got a clear audit on both
ends.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I'd like to, with regard to this entire report, ask that it be received and placed on file. I think this is an important document for county governance, and the board should have it as part of their formal proceedings.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Supervisor Haas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Gentlemen, thank you for your very extensive work that went into this. I know you and Mr. Hare and his colleagues have put a lot of time into this, so thank you very much for that. Mr. Chairman, I would like to note that I'm looking at the IMSD, the Information Management Services Department section. There's some comments in here about the need for possible examination of the structure of that. It's really a division, I think, under DAS. See if I can find you a page number. Unless it is page 12, which did not actually help you. Page 410 is what I have on the iPad here. Mr. Chairman, I mentioned that as I think this will deserve some further reexamination come the budget time, which will be upon us shortly. So thank you for bringing that to our attention, sirs, and thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Anything further? Supervisor Schmidt.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. How many years has Baker Tilly and Coleman combined to do this report?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I think our first year of the Baker Tilly contract was the year that Anderson went out to belly up. So I think it was the audit of 2002. We have done a competitive solicitation since that time. Unfortunately, we used to go in the market and get 8 proposals. Now we go in the market and we're lucky to get 2. So we'll be back in the market, I think, after the audit of 13. But those contracts always come before this committee once we've made a recommendation for them.
Well, Mr. Harris, sort of clairvoyant. He kind of knew where I was going with my question there, of course. And obviously, the depth and what we've looked at, I have no recommendations to go somewhere else. And I know we get comfortable in many departments because we get good service. The depth and the questions that were asked, for example, you have the answer to it. So there's obviously real pluses in having someone for longevity here and knows their system and gets in government operations. So those are real pluses. I guess Mr. Hare answered the question, too, in the sense that, well, you know, sometimes, and take this in the right spirit, that you get too familiar with each other a little bit and kind of soft pedal some things. I'm not suggesting that at all, but I'm just saying, you know, that possibly, I know there's professionalism involved and ethics, and that's very important. So, and I know there's not many people who do this kind of thing and what you've talked about. So my just general question, is there... and a very candid one to all of you, and you've been very candid in your reports. You see, you come back and you ask your suggestions. So is there any weakness in this relationship? Is there any way that we can improve it more? Are you professionally and ethically very satisfied on both accounts how things have gone? That would be my last question. Thank you.
Well, certainly from our perspective, you know, we are very satisfied. I mean, we are trained to be professional skeptics. And we have professional skepticism in how we approach our audits, and to the point where we, you know, if we need to rotate staff, have, you know, you talk about getting that fresh perspective. I mean, a firm of our size has the ability to bring in different personnel on an annual or biannual or however frequent basis we deem appropriate. One of the things we guard jealously is our reputation, and one of the things that can smear that greatly is having an inappropriate relationship or a too familiar relationship with our audit clients. And although we build very good professional relationships, it is always under the auspice of we are an external firm, an external CPA firm, and we are hired by you. We're not hired by management. We're hired by the board, by the committee, and so we work for you, and so we approach it in that professional manner.
Mr. Chair, to Supervisor Schmidt's point, the whole idea of fresh look and auditor succession has been an issue in our profession for years. Back when we had a more robust market, we would allow 3-year contracts only be extended for 1 more 3-year contract every 6 years. We had fresh audits, but what happened back then is like every 3 to 6 years we get the same 2 firms. But I think the approach we use now works. I think that having both firms do changes with the kind of boots on the ground staff and see items that need to be reported, that's a fresh look. But, you know, I would just say this in addition. The comments that Supervisor Lipscomb and Supervisor Jersey mentioned at the very beginning of this process, if you're looking to get this contract with recommendation from the comptroller based on the nature of your findings,
they're moving in the wrong direction. So I think that those are very significant critical comments, and we count on their integrity to surface every time we've got it, whether they're up to contract renewal or not.
Supervisor Stamper?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thanks for the extensive report, guys. A few months ago, Mr. Fudge presented a five-year forecast based on Milwaukee County's future outlook. So as I review the future outlook according to this audit, would you say it's on the same line? I don't know if you read it, his future forecast. It was somewhat positive, but this one is more positive, it's financially speaking. So are you familiar with his five-year forecast, and would you say it is on the same track as your audit?
I am not familiar with the forecast, and generally speaking, the forecasts go beyond the scope of the external audit, so I am not familiar with
okay.
that document.
Mr. Sure. What about you, Mr. Jerome?
Say this, that the foundation for the forecast is audited financial data. Josh, I may be wrong, but I think you're using actual data that would stand up to the audit scrutiny if it's linked to the CAPR and reconciliation of budget to CAPR. So their work more or less provides a foundation for those kinds of forecasts. I think one thing that Mr. Fudge has pointed out in every presentation I've heard him make on Municast is that the forecast is based on trend and within the power of the executive and the legislative branch to work together and change the trend based on policy that is adopted in the budget or otherwise.
Okay. Josh, want to input?
Mr. Chairman and Supervisors, no. Mr. Hare addressed it pretty well.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Anything further? If not, Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Gentlemen, with respect to American United Taxicab Company, it appears that if the financial statements of the Hornerside Farm Partnership, LLP, had been made available to you, you could have done a better job in evaluating the company's financial statements.
Well, we're not required, as part of the procedures that we asked to perform, we're not required to provide an evaluation. Merely a copy for the federal government, should they deem necessary to continue on with their evaluation of that organization.
Okay, I'm just looking at what's in front of me, so I
just
ask some questions related to what I have in front of me. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. And if you gentlemen on the way out could fill out a couple of those blue slips, so that unless you already have, so that we have a record of who you are, so for our clerk. And we have a motion by Supervisor Jurczyk to place this on file. Would you take the roll on that, please?
Supervisors Haas.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Roma West.
Aye.
Jurczyk.
Aye.
Lipscomb.
Aye.
Bowen.
Aye.
Stamper.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
9 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to receive and place on file
is approved. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to move a little out of order. We're going to move to item 28. The chairwoman has some scheduling issues, and she asked that she be taken a little earlier, so we're trying to accommodate her busy schedule. So I would ask the clerk to call.